Hello everyone out there, this is Trevor with Tee Time Reports, and today we're going to be reviewing and recapping the UFL's 2025 season opening weekend slash week one, if you will. If you're listening in on Spotify, if you're listening in on Apple Podcasts, if you're listening in on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe, leave a little comment, leave a little prediction for maybe who's going to be in the UFL championship game. All interaction and support is greatly appreciated. We had a very, very interesting weekend. I'm going to pull up the scores on my laptop here so that way I have the information in front of me. And it was a great weekend in terms of objectively watching the football. A lot of really good plays, a lot of really good games. But the attendance was too low. It left way too much to be desired. Really was disappointed in that aspect of the opening weekend. I don't know why the league would not have the opening game in St. Louis. Very suspect decision making there. Overall, I mean, we can dive into the scores here. Opening game obviously was between, are we stupid here? It was the Battle Hawks taking on the Roughnecks in opening weekend. It was opening night in Houston. Sorry, I was looking. They had the scores from last year's UFL games on ESPN.com. I was like, what? But the St. Louis Battle Hawks win in dominant form, 31-6. We talked about it in our short recap, but Jacob Saylors, Manny Wilkins, those guys dominated. And their defense looked really good as well with Travis Feeney, Mike Rose. They have some good players all around. And then the second game on Saturday, it was the San Antonio Brahmas taking on the Arlington Renegades in Arlington, and they looked just as bad as Houston did. They lost 33-9. The Renegades also had a dominant run game. Kalen Ballage and Devion Smith totaling for 4 touchdowns. They just looked really, really good. You really can't say, I mean, Luis Perez wasn't throwing the ball well at all. I mean, efficiently, yes, but down the field, no. He was taking 5 3-yard checkdowns. Yes, you'll win by death of 1,000 paper cuts, but the run game is what won the Arlington Renegades that game. And then to game 3, we have the Michigan Panthers taking on the Memphis Showboats, winning 26-12. It was very competitive right down to the last minute, and then it was a pick 6, so it ended the game. But a really fun game and a contest between those two teams. And then the Stallions take on the Defenders in D.C. and lose 11-18. The Defenders really showcased their front four ability on defense. 8 sacks total in one game is fucking crazy. The Stallions really need to address their O-line issues to be able to even get back into competitive form because, I mean, we've seen the defensive lines of the better teams in this league already through 1 week be dominant, be able to have that pressure, be able to make that push, have your edge rushers making plays, having proper pressures set up. The Stallions' defense did look really good, though. They were able to kind of hold DC within certain areas of the field. The biggest performances, I think, of the week were Bryce Perkins for the Michigan Panthers, Jacob Saylors for the Battle Hawks, Chris Rowland for the DC Defenders, or Malik Fisher or Joe Wallace, one of those guys. And then you also got to give credit to guys like, you know, Matthew Colburn or Frank Ginda for the Panthers. I mean, or Breland Speaks, COC Mariner. There's a lot of different players all around that made great plays. The Renegades, Javonte Payton, Tyler Vaughns. The Roughnecks, Justin Hall. I just feel bad for the Roughnecks and the Brahmas. I think they're going to probably be the bottom two teams of the league this year. It just really looked like it after 1 week. They looked dysfunctional. They couldn't score. They couldn't move the ball. And the quarterback play was very, very suspect. So we got to see where that leads and what will be taken from it, obviously. But I think that you can kind of get a good enough sample size in a league like this after 3 weeks of ball, and you have to take every week, notate every week. I mean, there will be patterns. There will be indiscrepancies with some of these teams. If the O-line for the Stallions is looking bad right now, it's going to look bad in front of other teams. So adjustments will be made. Players will be made. New guys brought in, I'm sure, over the next week. A lot of changes will happen. The power rankings. Let me pull up the power rankings that I did. I literally released right after the DC game on our Twitter account. If you guys are following us on Twitter at Tee Time Reports, make sure to do so. It's greatly appreciated. So the power rankings here, after week one going into week two. So our week two power rankings, our official week two power rankings, are going to be the DC Defenders at one, the St. Louis Battlehawks at two, the Arlington Renegades at three, the Michigan Panthers at four, the Stallions, the Birmingham Stallions are at five, the Memphis Showboats are at six, the San Antonio Brahmas are at seven, and the Houston Roughnecks are at eight. And yeah, that's those are the week two power rankings for the 2025 UFL season. So make sure everyone else out there and everyone is that's tuning in, stay locked in. We're going to be covering the UFL all season long. It's going to be a fun, fun journey like it was last year. And then especially covering the USFL in 2023 and 2022. We've been at this for a while. And we plan on just continuing the ride and continuing the journey, covering springtime football. But there were some great plays. DeAndre Baker had an interception. Carlos Davis, the big man, had an interception. JoJo Tillery made some nice plays. Ricky Person Jr., CJ Marrable made some nice plays. Joe Wallace, Chris Rowland for DC, both those guys made great plays. Jonathan Adams had a really nice catch for a touchdown for the Showboats. Deneric Prince, he's a guy that might emerge this year for the Showboats as well, a guy that I'm going to look out for. D. Anderson had a nice fourth down catch. Gunnar Oaks had a catch. Arnold Tarpley had a really nice interception. Frank Ginda had a really nice tackle. Troy Williams was looking locked in until that interception late in the game, obviously. Marcus Sims had a nice little game today. Adonis Alexander was making plays for Michigan. Matt Mengel was bombing punts. I mean, there were some nice plays out there, and I can only appreciate just being able to watch the UFL. You know, I'm just glad that it's actually happening. You know, I'm just glad that it actually is continuing, not shutting down like the XFL was every year. You know, it's actually a sustainable league. Hopefully will continue to be. I hope it has the sustainable business model, but I really just want not only the quality of competition to continuously improve, but I want the fan bases to grow larger. I want to be able to see more people in the stands, you know, cheering for their local team. So I think marketing has to improve. I think you know, getting the team more in the community, doing some community work or pop-up events, just stuff like that. It really goes a long way. And it does more just to be able to kind of resonate with the community, resonate with the people that are out there watching you. And especially if you're trying to retain and be able to make legacy and career players in the UFL, maybe signing contracts at some point. I don't know if that's the next step, but you know, those are all discussions for down the line. I do want to talk about our week two predictions before we wrap it up. For the YouTube viewers out there watching the video, we are going to wrap up after our power rankings. If you want the full extended version of the podcast episode, check us out on Spotify and Amazon Music and Apple Podcasts. We post there literally every single week, talking about Formula One, UFL, NFL, all the stuff under the sun, music, film, anything you can imagine. But week two, Friday, April 4th, 2025, 8 p.m. on Fox, we have the Birmingham Stallions traveling to Michigan to take on the Panthers. I'm going to take the Stallions in a bounce-back game here. It's going to be a close game, but very, very competitive, I think. And then on Saturday, April 5th, we have the Memphis Showboats taking on the DC Defenders. I think the DC Defenders are going to win this game because of their dominant front seven, their dominant defensive line. But there is a small chance maybe the Showboats showcase that grit like they did last week and keep the game close, or maybe even shock us. I don't know. We've saw some shockers this past weekend. Maybe the Showboats shock us in week two. We'll have to wait and see. Sunday, we have two games. The Houston Roughnecks taking on the Arlington Renegades in Arlington. A favorable start to the season for Arlington. Two home games in a row. I think the Renegades start this season off 2-0, and it's an easy win. It's a pencil-in win for anyone. The Roughnecks are terrible. And then the finale of week two, we have the San Antonio Brahmas taking on the St. Louis Battlehawks in St. Louis, where they won in the playoffs last year to get to the UFL championship game and then not score a point in it. So I actually have this weird thing that I don't think the Brahmas are going to score in this game. I think the Battlehawks mollywop them, run all over them, and the Brahmas looked completely out of class last week against the Renegades. So I expect it to kind of look similar, especially against the Battlehawks. Who knows? Maybe they surprise us and kind of wake up, something we expected the Brahmas to do all of week one's game, but they just never did. So we'll see how it turns out. We'll see where it lands. But obviously, I'm just so excited for the final game, the championship game on, I think, That's actually going to be June 13th, I believe, or 14th or 15th. One of those 3 days, one of those days in the weekend. I imagine it's going to be a Sunday, so it might be the 15th. But I'm so excited for the UFL Championship game already. We got to take it slow. Week two already passed. I mean, week two is already coming up. Week one has already passed. We have 9 more games of regular season and then 1 week of playoffs and then the championship game. So it's going to be fun. Make sure you guys are staying tuned for the entire season with Tee Time Reports and us and our coverage of the UFL. And if you have any suggestions, any predictions, put them in the comments. Definitely leave a like, subscribe. It's greatly appreciated. This is Trevor with Tee Time Reports. Thank you so much. Look out for that extended version of this episode on Spotify, okay? Take care and peace. So yeah, no, I just did a little YouTube video for the YouTube, everyone out there, kind of a live recording for the podcast. Hopefully that was greatly appreciated. A little bit of a new thing I'm going to try and do so I can get content out on different platforms, but not have to go crazy in terms of, I don't know, like, I guess making the same thing over and over and over again. But I think that the important thing is that we take notations, we keep track, we utilize good sources and references on Twitter like James Larson or ESPN.com, Fox Sports app or UFL app. But I think that as long as we are able to kind of maintain our coverage and do what we've been doing for the past couple of years for spring football, I don't see anyone else in the game that has been covering spring football to the extent that we do. We publish podcast episodes all the time. We tweet about it as much as possible. I mean, we can't physically be there because we're south of Tampa. We all have full-time jobs. But, man, if we had the ability to, we would be. I'll say that much. And I hope that one day we'll see kind of a different version of media coverage of these leagues. And hopefully, like, the leagues themselves will start providing more opportunity for not only marketing but networking for small-time creators like us. Like, I would love to be able to get a little free ticket to go into the press box and cover the game, do a live episode, live call on there. That'd be amazing, bro. I would love that and cherish that. But not only that, but, like, press passes and stuff like that need to be more accessible to some of these small-time creators that maybe aren't in the local areas and want to still contribute and be a part of the league, even if it's not for monetary purposes, but just to help the league grow and help the players get what they deserve and get all eyes on them. And that's kind of what we've been kind of talking about for the past couple of years in the podcast here, is like, why we cover it so much is because the players deserve it, you know? They deserve the notoriety. This league deserves to exist so that players can have an opportunity at the NFL again, or an opportunity to continue to play football. A sport that, you know, if you don't love, I don't know if I know you. But overall, week one was, in my opinion, a 70% success. The attendance was rough. That was the thing that held it back the most for me, was just not seeing people out there supporting their local team, especially when tickets are very, very cheap and accessible. You really kind of just take it as a gut punch. Like, damn, do people just not give a fuck? And, like, that unfortunately feels like the case in some of these instances. But we obviously have to keep our heads high, keep reporting on the league, keep trying to get the name of the UFL out there so more people can become interested and become fans of the league. Because that's what's important, is to continue to grow with the season. Hopefully this season will bring a ton of new fans of the UFL. And obviously heading into week two, you want to see that attendance increase. You want to see more prevalence on social media. You want to see more marketing, more ads. They need to do a lot more work after this season if they want to expand, or if they even want this league to survive. And I really do hope that we do get to see some kind of attendance from Dwayne The Rock Johnson at one of these games. I feel like it would be pretty nice to see that, but I just haven't seen it yet. So we'll, I guess, wait to see it. But week two's coming up in a week. I'm really excited for it, obviously. Friday's game is going to be awesome. Birmingham versus Michigan. We'll see who comes out on top. A lot to discuss there. I'm really excited that the UFL season is finally here. Feels like for months and months and months on end, I was doing nothing and nothing but talking about it. So it was definitely like, I was like, damn, like, I don't want to just keep pumping out off-season coverage episodes and Like, when are the games coming? Like, just that anticipation of the league is just something that I can't not like. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was really a really fun off season. Really cool to see not only the growth of the teams and the talent, but overall just the league itself. Hopefully drawing in new investors, hopefully drawing in more people that are going to become fans of it. You just want to see that growth continue to grow so the league does not die out. I mean, if you weren't watching, there was a lot of fun stuff this weekend, man. A lot of really cool stuff, like a lot of really great plays. The highlight reel from week one is going to be pretty crazy on the UFL Twitter page, I imagine. Definitely something I'm going to be watching, but... yeah, if you're not just tuning in, you know, to a UFL game or coverage episode, please make sure you watch a game. It's really fun. It's really competitive. And there's a lot of heart and passion out there on the field. And you can only respect it and kind of admire it, if you will, because it's, you know, a lot of dedication to be put into to being a full-time athlete and a lot of sacrifices as well. But yeah, no, obviously... I think that pretty much wraps up our UFL coverage episode for week one, opening weekend for the 2025 UFL season completed. Now we're going to be looking ahead towards week two of the 2025 season in the UFL. A lot of really great plays, a lot of really good performances, and a lot of awesome games and content to talk about. But overall, it was a fun game and a fun games and fun weekend for me. Overall, I mean, I'm south of Tampa. I really only could enjoy it on TV, but... It was fun. It was worth the watch. So hopefully everyone out there enjoyed it as well. It's greatly appreciated for all the support over here at Tea Time Reports. This is Trevor with Tea Time covering our UFL Week 1 coverage. And obviously, if you guys want more of these episodes, check us out on YouTube at Tea Time Reports. And definitely scroll down and check our podcast out. We have hundreds of episodes on here, and a lot of them happen to be about spring football. So again, take care, stay safe, and stay awake, everyone. Peace.